In the name of Jesus, amen. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? In a place, in a time long forgotten by all of us, a little boy was looking at a Bible picture book for the first time. And he was learning about Jesus. And as he thumbed through the pages of this Bible storybook, his eyes froze when he came at last to the picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. He gazed thoughtfully at the scene that was depicted there, the crown of thorns, the nails, the blood spilling from Jesus' body, his body outstretched in agony, tendons and ligaments tearing. And having taken it all in, he muttered to himself, if God had been there, he would not have let them do it. That's the mystery of all mysteries this dark Friday afternoon. God let them do it. God was there. But why? How do we put words to this puzzling mystery? I mean, of all the seven words that Jesus spoke from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even all the words that were spoken in the Bible, these words probably invite far more quizzical looks and thoughts than anything. His cry invites us, even perhaps seduces us this afternoon, to try and figure out how God could be fixed and crucified to a wooden post, how God could abandon God. And so it is that in the mystery of the love that the Father has for the Son in eternity, with which the Son in eternity gives back to the Father in the bond of the Holy Spirit, but in the mystery of this never-ending relationship of love, how the Father is absent from his beloved Son on the cross. We puzzle over the how this could be. But notice that Jesus, he does not. He does not cry out, how? He cries out, why? That one Hebrew word, lama, Eli Eli lama, why have you forsaken me? It's perhaps the saddest Hebrew word in all of the Bible. Now, if the question is how God could abandon God, there is no way to unravel such a mystery. But the question is why, we have at least a place to start. For the mystery begins not with God abandoning this God-man upon the cross, no, but with man abandoning God. O my people, the Lord says, why have you forsaken me? How often Jesus says, I would have gathered you as children together, as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. God cries out, why, O man? All the generations of this unfaithful humanity, both Israel and the nations and any nation that has ever existed or will exist, all this is gathered upon Jesus. this one man of whom all their unfaithfulness and straying and wandering is laid upon. Sometimes we might ask ourselves, why did we do it? Or why did anyone do it? Why did we run and hide? Why did we stomp off in a huff? Why did we leave God's house without a whisper? Why, when confronted with our sin, did we rather blame God or blame someone or something that God has given to us that is good and right and true? There's lots of sinful reasons, because we wanted to do it our own way. Because unlike Jesus, we did count equality something to be grasped. Because perhaps we were afraid to hope in God. Because we were weak when we should have been strong. Because we were fearful when we needed to be courageous. Or we were blind when we needed sight. Or we took pride in ourselves when we should have taken humility and repentance as a way. O my people, the Lord God says, why have you forsaken me? So the cry of abandonment by Jesus is, first of all, God's own anguished cry when we turn away from Him who has loved us from eternity. That is not a cross that we can bear. Thankfully, it's one that Jesus does. We have forsaken Him. It is no surprise then that He would seem absent to us in our times of greatest need. This has often been the sad experience of men and women throughout the history of the ages. So many stories that you know and that I know can be written here of the why. The God seems to vanish in times when we need Him the most. The confidence that we thought that we had in God is suddenly blown away, and we are feeling abandoned and left alone to face our troubles and our sufferings. Therefore, it stands to understand that if God is going to be for us completely in Jesus, that He's going to take on our mortal flesh and life, that He's going to have to suffer the absence of God. That He's going to have to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because when we experience God's absence of that word, why? Lama. This becomes our cry too. There's all sorts of whys in life. I thought about them. Why am I sick? Why have I fallen ill? Why did she have to or he have to die? Why has my father or my mother abandoned me? Why haven't my children called me in years? Why am I estranged to my family? Why did my husband or wife leave me? Why can't I find a way to set right that cruel word that I spoke? Why can't I take back what I did so thoughtlessly and so foolishly in a moment of haste? I mean, why isn't God here to set it all right? Those kinds of whys, yours, mine, all those of the generations long gone and all those will be long after us, are all gathered up into a heap and hanging on this cross in bleeding, in the cry that Jesus cries out in this dereliction. All of it amounting to what that little boy instinctively thought to himself, nah, if God had been there, he would not have let them do it. But he did. And that is the gospel. That in order for him to be present truly for us and for our salvation, he must experience the absence of God in his time of greatest need. Because here's the point. Only in God, absence from Jesus, can God be present with us in Jesus. That is what he gave up, and that is what we gain. And so how God has done this, we will never understand. But what it does mean for you today is that it means you can stop asking the why. At least this, that you can be confident that Jesus is the last human being who ever needs to feel completely alone or abandoned, period. Because after this, because of this cross, in this cross, you and I are never alone. In this cross, we are justified and we are forgiven and we are redeemed. In this cross, we drink from the wells of salvation, the wounds of salvation. In this cross is the beauty of God's love being given, being poured out to you. In this cross, you are assured today of paradise. Therefore, unlike the little boy, we can look at the pictures of the crucifixion of Jesus. We can come here today and we can look upon our God who was crucified and pierced for our transgressions, not with horror, not with the sense of dismissal, not with the idea that thankfully, that is all over, and we can now get on to all this resurrection stuff. But no, today, you can look upon the cross with gratitude and honor and adoration and amazement at the length to which your God would go to rescue you in the midst of your unwillingness. In the midst of your attempt to befriend your greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And that he cried out, why, God, have you forsaken me, that you might never or would cry out that God has ever, nor will he ever, forsake you. And so, God has been absent from his Son, Jesus. So that in this same Jesus, God is present with you. Present here upon this sorrowful plain with which we often feel abandoned and alone and forsaken. On this Good Friday, we can ponder the depth of God's love as we sang in the magisterial hymn, O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? These two verses. What punishment so strange is suffered yonder? The shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him. Who would not know him? The sinless Son of God dies in sadness so that sinful man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and is acquitted, but God is committed. O wondrous love is this, O my soul. in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.